Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, it's a great day, isn't it? It really is. It's a great day. We want to say happy Father's Day to all you guys, and we really like to see families flourish. Do you know the family's under attack? Been under attack for quite a while. But fathers are under attack because all the world wants us to lose our masculinity. And there's an attack on our masculinity, and we have to stand up, be men, and be what we're supposed to be. And to a world who does not understand, the world doesn't understand the things of God. And we have to show them the things of God. I'm going to, I'll tell you what, I told Justin, wave at me. He's a little short-handed today. Let's give the media team praise. Thank you so much. Y'all do such a great job, and a little bit short-handed. And he said, "Is there any way possible that you could stand still when you preach?" What's the answer to that? Nah. I'll try my best. I really will. I'll try my best. All things are possible. Probably impossible for me, but it's possible for God to. You know, He stuck my feet to the floor in Canada for 45 minutes, and I could not move. I had asked Him specifically, "Lord, while we're here, I want You to do something in Brenda's life that will cause her to be excited about You." Nothing happened to her, but I was stuck to the floor, literally. So you can ask her, literally, for 45 minutes, could not move. Two big old guys, 6'4", from Georgia, one on one side, one on the other, tried their best to pick me up. And they said, "How much do you weigh?" And at that time, I weighed about 180. Those were the days gone by. But but they tried, and one got me around the waist and yanked and tugged and pulled. And you know, it's impossible for me to stop that, right? So it was God that did it. And then I had a guy to come by, one of the ministers there came by, and James Riles, if you remember him. And he was the pastor of the guy that started Promise Keepers. He came by, and he said, I need to tell you something. And I said, okay, and I'm still stuck. And I'm really pleading for God to do something about it. I said, look, I don't know what's going to happen here. Don't even know what's happening other than the fact that I'm stuck to the floor. I can't move, and I've been here 45 minutes, and people are leaving. And I don't want to be here all night. And that's what I've been telling God. So he came by and he said, you know, what's happened tonight is you've wrestled a little bit with God in your soul. And He wants to prove to you that His power is greater than what you could ever imagine. And when you get released tonight, that your walk will be different. And you will have to learn how to walk again. And I was a Christian. It's been, what, 1994. And anyway, so he prayed for me. And once he took his hand off of me, I thought I was going to float off. I felt so light. But he told me, he said, "The weight on your feet is the glory of God." And he said, "You'll walk for His glory." Now, I did not come back and start a ministry of people being stuck to the floor. I wouldn't want that wished on anybody, to be honest with you. But it was God, and it was very powerful in our lives. And so I'm gonna share just a little bit today, and I believe it's the message for today is God's way of saying, "Man up." But I do not want the ladies to check out on me, because it's not just about the men. These verses are not just about the men. It's about the women too, except for one part. It's very simple, straightforward, and it's a no-nonsense message. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Notice it said the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That those two verses are extremely simple but power-packed. I do think it's God's way of getting our attention to say it's time for fathers and it's time for men to man up. This is not going to be a bash the dads, bash the fathers. It's more like a battle cry. A battle cry to the fathers, a battle cry to the men. For us to be hungry and thirsting for biblical manhood in a world that wants to destroy masculinity. And we just have to be alert to that. But God, I think God is telling us, I want you to be who I created you to be. I want you to be empowered to do what I've called you to do. And I want you to say the things that I've told you to say, to man up in all these areas. I want you to grow up, show up, stand up, and man up. Now, this first thing about growing up, I want to say this about growing up. Maturity is when you and I stop making excuses and start making changes. We live in a world that is full of finding excuses and finding someone else to blame, someone else to give the fault to, because the world does not want us or anybody else to accept the responsibility for our own actions. You remember if Flip Wilson said it was the devil that made him do it. You know, and there's a cartoon of one time about the devil sitting on the curb and crying, and somebody walked up to him and said, devil, why are you crying? He said, they're blaming things on me that I never got to do. Now, it's a cartoon, but a lot of times it's our own flesh, it's our own choices, it's our own doings that gets us in the most trouble. But this world is vigorously trying to find someone else to blame. Whatever's going wrong, whatever's going on, we want to blame other people. When God wants us just to accept the responsibility for where we are and then don't make excuses, start making changes. And that's how we're going to make a difference as men. That's how we're going to make a difference as fathers. That's how we're going to make a difference as mothers and all. So we're here for the purpose of glorifying Him and changing society with the light that He's given us. You do not have light just to sit upon it or put a basket over it. You and I have light in us and upon us to be able to make the difference no matter where He sends us to go. Let me say this. Do not be afraid of the dark. That's why we were created. That's why He said He's given us His. He was the light. Then He said, no, you're the lights of the world. Think about that. You, I, are the lights of the world. We're the lights of the world. Carrying His light, we light up places that we go. Don't be afraid to go to the dark places, because He's going everywhere I go, every high and every low. Wherever we go, I'm going with Him and He's going with me. Does that make sense? So don't be afraid of it. But I want to give you a few stats. And one of the stats is that 40% of children in the Western world will go to sleep tonight in a home which their father does not live in. 40% of the children will go to sleep tonight in a home that their father does not live in. By the time they reach 18, more than half of our nation's children are likely to spend a large portion of time of their childhood apart from their father. That's the reason I was challenging the fathers here, all of us. Be a father to somebody. It's in you. You're created to be a father. If you father children, you're created to be a father. And you can father without having children. Be that person. Be that man. Be that woman that mothers people, that gives them, that gives the, them hope and gives them guidance and gives them words of knowledge that they need to hear, words of wisdom that they need to hear. Children raised in fatherless environment demonstrate 5 times the increase of the average suicide rate, 5 times higher, just because they're fatherless. There were dramatic increases of depression and anxiety, 32 times above the average of being incarcerated. 32 times more because of fatherlessness. See, we're fighting battles, but sometimes we're fighting them on the wrong front. We're fighting the things that are on surface and not going to the root of the matter, finding out what is the root of this. Because how many of you know you can knock all the bad fruit off of a tree? If the fruit is bad, you can go take a tennis racket, a baseball bat, and knock all the fruit off, gather it up so they won't eat it. But that won't solve the problem. Finding the root of the bitterness, of the hopelessness. Because if it brought bad fruit one time and you got rid of the fruit, it's going to bring it again the next season. So we have to be a people that will get to the root of the matter and don't be caught up in false skirmishes that take your time. It's not the fix. The world looks for short fixes. God looks for eternal remedies. His remedies are eternal. So we need to make sure that we do that. Education levels decrease in when you're fatherless. The increased dropout rate. The dropout rate is higher because of fatherlessness in homes. Lower income levels and lower job security. Significantly increased rate of problematic relational issues. They can't get along with people. Substantial increase of substance abuse. Mental and social behavior issues. Just because they don't have a father. But here's a kicker. You may have been there for your children all the time. And you may have been there for them all the time. And I praise God that you have. But the studies show that the emotionally unavailable father has the same effects on children as an absent father. They're home, but they're not engaged. They're home, but they're not involved. They're home, but they don't interact with their kids. They don't know what their kids are doing. They're not involved with their kids. That's the emotionally detached. And we don't need to be emotionally detached. Now, we can be tired at times and say, okay, I can't really get involved with this right now because I'm so exhausted. And I've told you all the story. Scott's not in here, but I told you all the story before. I was working up underneath the car. He was little. We had a pony that was across the street from right across the road, and there was a pasture with a pony, and I was working on the exhaust muffler on a car, and he was tugging at my britches and said, Daddy, I want to go pet the pony. And I said, I don't have time to do that right now. I said, Daddy, I'll do it later. I've got to fix this. I can't do it. He tugged on, Daddy, I really want to go pet the pony. Now, what he's telling me is he already knows he can't cross the road by himself. I told him, if you cross the road by himself, you'll get a whipping. Get a spanking. And so he's tugged me 3 times, and I said, son, I don't have time right now. Well, I didn't feel a tug anymore. And I just laid my head, laid my head sideways and looked under the car to where the fence was, and there he was across the street, and there's the pony, and he's petting the pony. And I'm like, so I get out from under. You have to hear this. I get out from under the car, and I had time for this. Are y'all hearing me? I had time for what I was about to do. So I got out, and I said, son, I'd rather give you a spanking than pick up your limp body on the road. Now, he's about like this. And so we had a little paddle, and I spanked him on the paddle, you know, for being disobedient, for disobeying, and everything was okay. And I was already in the bed. I was in the bed reading, and I heard them little feet come out of his bed, and there he is. He's back there. Hey, son, I didn't know you better. I'm sorry. I heard them little feet. He comes to the side of my bed and he says, "Daddy, when I get big and have children, I want to be just like you. And I want your paddle when I get big." Now, he's not doing a joke. He's really not. He said, "I want a paddle when I get big." And he said, "Because I want to be able to take care of my children like you take care of me." Now, my heart swelled up huge. My head was big enough. We got a king size bed. My head was filling up both sides. I said, "Son, you don't know how glad you make me feel, how happy I am." So he takes one step, turns around. He said, "But Dad, when my son wants to go pet the pony, I'm going to go with him to pet the pony so he doesn't get a whipping." So now I go from being elated with joy to sobbing with tears. You know, and it did. But the Lord reminded me of that. He said, "You had time to discipline him, but you didn't have time to go enjoy something with him." It's just, it wouldn't have taken just 5 minutes. And anyway, so we got to be engaged. See, I've not been the perfect father, I've not been the perfect father. No, and none of us are perfect. But we can't make excuses if we want to grow up. Maturity does not make excuses. It makes changes. So you need to make changes. So we need to get to this other passage real quick. And you need to know that your involvement with your children, engaging and being involved with your children, that's how you transfer from being a father to being a dad. See, they need dads. They need dads that's going to do things, take them fishing or whatever it is that they like doing. We need to invest our time in doing some things that they, and fathers, husbands, we have to do that with our wives as well. We have to invest the time. It's a busy world. Matter of fact, the enemy, if he can, will keep you so busy you have time for nothing else but do instead of being with your family. And that also he'll try to, you know, he'll try over in Daniel, he says he'll wear out the saints if possible. He'll wear out the saints with all this stuff. So we have to be careful that it won't gonna get worn out on fronts that are there, but that don't need to occupy our time. So let's read this again. 1 Corinthians 16. "Be watchful, be firm, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." See, Paul uses this, and these are militant words. These are words that require action. These are words that require, I got to stand up, I've got to be who I'm supposed to be, I've got to do what I'm supposed to do, and I've got to say what I'm supposed to say. No questions asked. And everything that I do needs to be done in love. Well, that's a qualifier, isn't it? Everything I do needs to be done in love. That tells us that we're not on a playground. We're on a battleground. I wish we could just stay on a playground forever, but we can't. But we're on a battleground. Even when we're on the playground with our children, we're on a battleground. The world, society, culture wants our children. They want to teach our children the things that are not of God. They want to teach our children that everybody else is the blame. You don't have any blame. They want to bring division to our children. Teach us that where they don't get along. See, that's a battleground. That's not something. And listen, and if you're not a father, you're not a mother, but you're a man and woman, the thing is, you're not left out of this thing. We all have a call on our lives to hasten to the things that God is saying for us to go do. And we need to be quick about it. How many of you have missed an opportunity because God said something and you didn't respond right then, but shortly after you realized it was too late? We need to be quick responders to what God is telling us to do. We need to recognize His voice to begin with because He is a good Father. So before we get into just listing these things out, I want you to know that 2 Corinthians 10 tells us this. You're in a warfare, but it's not with flesh. Your warfare is not with flesh. It's not with people. Do not make people your priority of war. It may be spirits. It may be teachings or whatever the falsehoods that we're fighting against that they're influenced by, but our warfare is not with them. It may be what's driving them. It may be what's influencing them. Does everybody understand that? So he says this, you do not war according to the flesh. You don't get in the flesh when you war. He said, you use the weapons that God has provided. They're weapons of warfare, and they're not carnal, but they are. Say that word loud.
Mighty.
In God. Say, mighty in God. They are.
They are mighty
in God. They're not just little bitty tinker toy weapons. They're not. They are mighty. If you have a weapon from God, it is mighty. It's strong. It will do the work if we apply ourselves to the work that needs to be done. We have to handle the weapon. We have to use the weapon. But it's not against people. It's against the spirits. It's against the things that are influencing them that are anti-God. They're mighty in God, and they're able to pull down strongholds. Grab them and pull them down. The weapons that we have are so mighty that we can see a stronghold, and in the spirit we can pull that thing down in Jesus' name. Casting down imaginations and arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you see how much is exalting the knowledge that we have in the earth today has exalted so high above God? Making our own selves God. Making up our own truth and not following the truth. There's a line in one movie, and he said, the truth is what I say it is. No, the truth is not what you say it is. The truth's already been spoken. He's the truth. But see, the world would want you to make up your own as you go. Be your own God. And then he says, you're able to bring every thought. Say every thought. Every thought that you have, you're able to bring it to the captivity of Christ through the obedience of Jesus. Which thought? Every thought. Don't think, no, that one's too big. Nope. No, the weapons we have can captivate the very thoughts and bring it to obedience in Christ. See, he's already got this thing planned out. So number one, he says this. Godly men are watchful. He said, be on alert. Be watchful. How do you be watchful? You got to know who you are. You got to know who your commander is. Who's commanding you? Who is your Lord? No, I've got Jesus as my Savior, but I don't need a Lord. Doesn't work that way. We enter in that way. We enter into the saving grace of Jesus. Then he brings us to a place of lordship, of coming underneath, and he is the boss. He is the master. We're the follower. Know who our commander is. Know your position. What is your position? Know your position. Know the enemy. Some of us don't even recognize what the enemy's doing. We have to be watchful. That's what he's saying. Be watchful. Know your enemy. Know what he's doing and know what the enemy's objective. Do you know the enemy's objective? What's his objective? Steal, kill, destroy. He doesn't like you. Matter of fact, he hates you. He hates me. He hates everything that we do for God. So we have to know his objectives. Then we have to know our weapons. But never lose sight of where we are. Never lose sight of where we are. Never lose sight of who we are. Never lose sight of who he is. Don't lose sight of that. This is being watchful. Stay alert. Stay awake. I'm not meaning physical sleep. Have you ever walked around and just never had a clue? Wave at me. I walked around and all of a sudden just said, "Oop, I didn't see that coming." Are y'all real today? Okay. So stay awake, be attentive, stand guard. Increase your prayer life with fervency. With fervency, with passion. You know what that means, guys? It means pray without ceasing, but there's time when we need to be fervent. We need to hit our knees. We need to gather the information. We need to gather the intelligence. We need to gather the things that God has shown, and we need to take our knees down and cry out for our spouse, cry out for our children, and cry out for other people. What happens about a fervent person's prayer? It avails much. What does that mean? What does it mean to avail much? It will accomplish what you said. It will accomplish our fervency in prayer. We need to be fervent people in prayer. And we need to be declaring the righteousness of God over our family and over our kids. I love some of the songs that we do about the family, about the blessings over the family. Men, you need to know that you are watchmen on a wall. And you're not there to dilly-dally around. You're there to keep your eyes peeled. And if you see danger approaching, it's time for you to be in action. The Bible says over in 1 Peter 5, it says this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Be humble. That he may exalt you in due time. See, when we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. And I guarantee you, when you get exalted by God, ain't nobody else going to take that away from you. Amen. Then he says, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word casting means to take off of you and put it on him. The anxieties, the distractions, the things that are hindering you, take it off of you and put it on him. That's literally what it says. Place it upon him. Casting all your anxieties, all your distractions, all your worries, and put it on him. For he cares for you. Now, the word care in that first part is anxieties and worries. But the last part, where he cares for you, he's not anxious for you. He has no worries. He doesn't have any anxiety. The first one means the anxiety. The second one means everything about you matters to him. He careth for you. Everything about you matters to him. Not one. He's not a father who is absent from your emotions. Absent from your feelings, absent from your thoughts. He's not absent from that. He is a father that is completely connected to you because it all matters. He said, cast all your anxiety upon me because all of that matters to me. I'll take care of it. And then he says, be sober. I mean, be focused. Don't be distracted. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be persistent. And he says, because your adversary, the devil, he's telling you about, this is how you need to know him. Your adversary, the devil, walks around roaring, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's not that the enemy's coming. He's already here. If you're waiting on him to attack, he's already attacking. He's already influencing with darkness. He's already influences with evil. We're not waiting for him to come. He's already here. Jesus took his disciples out to pray because he had this terrible feeling of where he was about to go. And he was feeling the hurt and the pain and the thing that he was going to face. And he said, I want you to come pray with me. And then they fell asleep. He said, your flesh is weak, your spirit's strong, but your flesh is weak. But he said, I want you to stay alert. I want you to pray. But he says, keep watching and praying. Keep watching and praying. Stay alert. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, because the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Number two, a godly man is faithful and steadfast. The stand that you take will determine your outcome that you make. So what stand are you taking? I heard one time, a long time ago, a person that doesn't stand for anything will fall for everything. Take a stand. Stand firm in the difficult times. Do not waver. Do not leave your position. Be persistent. Do not cave. Do not cave in. Do not give up. Stand firm in the faith. He didn't say stand firm in your faith. He said stay firm in the faith. What is it? The faith in this word of God. Stand firm in it, and then your faith will grow stronger. Find your life in the Word of God. The Bible says if you don't know the Word of God, it says if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare for battle? You hear the trumpet making the sound and you don't recognize that sound. What does that mean? Well, if you're trying to figure it out, it may be too late. Listen to God, because he gives us certain things and certain alarms that he puts off in society for us to be able to awaken to. And he's calling us to be a watchful people. He's calling us to be a steadfast people. A godly man, he says, act like a man. Boy, that's strong. Act like a man. Act like men. Well, we got society today that wants to get to our children and confuse them on who they are, what they are, and what they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. They want to be the ones to tell them. I'm saying, uh-uh. How about you? No, they're not going to tell them. No, they're not going to tell them. No, well, you need to change your gender. You feel this way? You need to do this then. Act like men. Be brave. Be courageous. Be bold. Set the example. Cultivate the culture of bravery and courage. Cultivate bravery and courage. Set the example. Joshua was told by the Lord, he said, be strong and be courageous. He said, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And that's what he's telling us. As I've been with all the ones that's previous to you, I'm with you. I want you to be strong. And I want you to be courageous. See, this thing about courageous means you, there's something out there looming that you're going to have to stand up and be courageous about. You're going to have the courage to say no. Yeah, but it might mean, I said no. He said no, so that's what I say no. He said yes, so that's what I say yes. He said, be strong and be courageous. Only be strong and courageous and do according to the word of the law with which Moses, your commanded, gave you, so that you might be successful wherever you go. He says, meditate on the word day and night. Meditation is a lost art. We've almost given it away to the New Age group. There's nothing wrong with meditation. It's what you meditate on. Matter of fact, he says, cultivate that. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to do that? So that you may be careful to do according to what is written, and then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. Do you want to have success? Do you want to make your way prosperous? Meditate on the Word of God. Think about it. Mull it over. Let it chew on it. The next thing, godly men are strong. The Lord is not speaking about how much you can bench press, how strong you are physically. No, it's how strong you are in your character. What was that saying one time before? Your talent can take you a long way, a lot further than your character can sustain you. If you depend on your talent only because you have a gift, no, it's about character. Character is going to be there. Your gift can come and go. Your talent can come and go. You can get real talented and all of a sudden it's all about you. It's all about you. No, it's not about you. It's about him. So men are strong. Godly men are strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where our strength comes from. Comes from our, really from our weakness. I can't do this, but he can. And he can do it through you, and he can do it to you, and he can actually let you do it for others. You can stand in the gap. When you have the strength of the Lord, you can stand in the gap for others that they can't stand in themselves. Okay. They're strong. Jesus, listen to this about Jesus, Luke 2:40. Jesus grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Ephesians tells us this. Ephesians 3:16 said that God would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. It's inside. Number five. The last one. A godly man is loving. Godly man is loving. He says, in all that you do everything in love. In all that you do, fathers, in all that you do, husbands, women, in all that you do everything in love. So your watching needs to be done in a loving way. Your standing needs to be done in a loving way. Your courage needs to be done in a loving way. Everything needs to be done in love. Jesus says this. He said, everyone that hears my words and acts upon them, who does them, he's compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Build your house on the rock. How do I do that? Hear what he says and do it. Build your house upon a rock. He said, when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon a rock. Now here's what I've got to tell you. When you start doing these things, you start taking courage, you start being watchful, you start being alert, and you start being courageous, and you start doing this thing, you start building your house upon a rock by hearing what the Lord says, and you start doing it. It does not mean that the rains won't come. It does not mean that the floods won't come. It may get high, may get deep. It does not mean that the winds won't blow. It does not mean it won't blow against the house. But it does mean, and I can guarantee this because it's based on the Word of God, they may come, but your house will not fall. It will not fall. Because it's been founded on the rock. Let your watchfulness, let all the steadfastness, your courage, your bravery, your actions be done because it's done out of love. Love is the high ground. Love is a higher ground. That means a higher ground, what does it mean? It inhibits the approach of the enemy when you're on the higher ground. It's harder for him to attack. It increases your accuracy when engaging because you're looking down at him. And it also gives you a wider perspective of what you see. So the question today is, will we answer the call? Will we answer the battle cry? Is there any higher ground that we need to trim up, that we need to say, wait a minute, I know there's some higher ground I got to take in my love. about this, about that, or toward somebody. Families need godly men. Like I said, it's not a beat down of fathers, but it's a battle cry. Hunger for the higher ground. Hunger for the position that God's given you to, so you can fulfill it. And in all of our weaknesses as we are, God will make us strong. He will be strong. He will answer the call if we just surrender to the call. We have a song that we're going to close in. And do we have that one ready? I can't see you. Do we have that song ready? We didn't. We don't have. Well, you're pointing. Audio. Well, you can do the video if you want to. You have it? Do you have it? I don't. Okay. That's fine. He's shorthand. Anyway. The song is talking about Jesus, make a man of me with your integrity. A man of the Spirit. A man of the Word. A man of the Spirit. A man of the Word. Fathers, if that's what you want to be, I want you to stand first. I want to become the man that Jesus intended for me to be. And I want to be a man of the Spirit of God. And I want to be a man of the Word. Men, you don't have to be a father. Any man, if that's your commitment today. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you that the grace of God that is upon them will be activated in such a way that they will immediately know your presence and your empowerment in their lives. And they will fulfill, even greater than what they're doing now, they will fulfill the greater things that you have in store for them, because you have empowered them and graced them with your ability to accomplish it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.